Turn, please, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to read verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Through the years of my ministry, those without Christ have raised a valid objection. They say, "Well, I know this person who goes to church on Sunday and lives like the devil the rest of the week." And the non-religious, unchurched, and ungodly recognize the inconsistency of such a lifestyle. And they take notice that the professed Christian's beliefs only apply to one day a week. And they have every right to object. The sad thing is, however, they are too often correct in their assessment of their friend, co-worker, neighbor, or family member. It is true that multitudes have a form of religion that alone impacts them on Sunday. In some instances, we will employ the term SMO, and that means Sunday morning only. Oh, not for those who cannot do otherwise, and not for those who would love to be there every time the doors are open but cannot. But we apply that term to those whose religion is only good one day a week. For them, the Lord's Day is given to the Lord, but after that, the remainder of the week is theirs, and they can do it however they please. For such people, as someone astutely said, they have just enough religion to bug them, but not to bless them. I submit unto you that Christianity is more than a single day's proposition. Christianity is not something that we do, it is who we are. And that means that we cannot, or I should say, we should not, isolate our Christian life to one day a week. Every Christian is the Lord's. Every day is the Lord's. And every Christian is a Christian every day. Therefore, as we embark upon a new year, whether or not you make resolutions, I encourage you, I exhort you, to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then to live for Him every day. And whether or not you can attend the Lord's house, your relationship with God ought to be a daily activity. You should not be a Christian on Sunday and then live like the devil during the week. I believe authentic Christianity is an everyday Christianity. And I've chosen to speak a message with that title, Everyday Christianity. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless those that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. You know all about that, and Lord, we just commit them to you. We pray that you would heal. We pray that you would bless. But we come together today to worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you for those that are able to be with us, and we just ask that you bless your word as you laid it upon my heart to share. And Lord, bless it as it goes out today, working our hearts by your spirit. We pray especially for the lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ and they might be saved. And for those of us who are saved, help us to recognize that our salvation is a lifestyle change, that salvation is really who we are, and that we are Christians, and it's just not something we do. So help us, O God, to be as you would have us to be day after day after day. And so bless our time, and we commit it to you. We honor you. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to think about an everyday Christianity, and I want to do so, first of all, by thinking about as this is indicated by the terminology. When you look into the King James translation, you'll find the word conversation. Our text has the word conversation. And it's not what you think of just a matter of talking one to another. It's not that word at all. And so when I think about an everyday Christianity as expressed by the terminology, I think of that word conversation. Now, we read 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, and in just a few moments as we look at these other words that we find in the King James translated as conversation, all those will come from one word, but there was one before that I wanted to share that actually comes from a different word, but yet it was translated the word conversation. And so I invite you to turn back to the Philippians chapter 1, if you would. And as we think about this terminology, this concept of who we are and how we ought to live, and that is a daily activity, This first word, and this word, it's not only found here, but it's the word only found is the word conversation. I look at it from the perspective of citizenship. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the Spirit, with one mind striving together with the faith of the gospel." And Paul continues his discussion there. But I want you to notice he says, "Let your conversation be as that which becomes the gospel." That word conversation in this place is the word that comes from it's a political term. It comes from a word that means to be a citizen. And so it can be applied to one who is a citizen. It can be applied to one who governs a city or a state. Here in this passage, it is one that it's applied to one whose life is ordered, a life of conduct. That is, you're a citizen, and you ought to live like a citizen. And so this is a political term. A similar term is found over in the book of Acts chapter 23, verse 1, where there it was translated, "I have lived in all good conscience before God," Paul says. I have lived. That's a manner of life, is it not? And so when we read Philippians 1:27, he is telling the people at the church of Philippi and other of the churches, of course, that we want to live a life that becomes the gospel because we're citizens of heaven. Let your conversation, let your citizenship be as it becomes the gospel. We're citizens of heaven. Let us live like that. Now, from here on, if you go back to look at our text in 1 Timothy chapter 4, all the verses that I mentioned now come from the same Greek root word. And so this idea will be the same when we look into 1 Timothy chapter 4. And what we notice is this is from the perspective of conduct. The first word dealt with a perspective from citizenship. This is a perspective of conduct. And my Christianity ought to be an everyday Christianity based on the matter of my conduct. So we look into our text once again, and what Paul is doing is he writes to Timothy, he's giving him instruction. And he says in verse 12, "Let no man despise your youth." We understand that very clearly. "Be thou an example." So Timothy is to be an example of the believers in word and conversation, there's our word, in charity and spirit, in faith and in purity. That word conversation there means it is a conversation, it is a mode of life. It is our conduct, it is our deportment. It is who we are day after day after day. It's who we are, not what we do. But generally, we do what we do because of who we are. But we can deviate from that on occasion. But our deportment, our conduct, all these words, when we see this word conversation from here on out, talks about our deportment or our conduct in life. Since I've chosen this as a beginning passage for us, we see that word that Timothy is to be an example in conversation. And there are five things I want to think about just within this verse itself. First of all, Christians have an obligation or a duty to be examples. Not just Timothy, but every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, we ought to be examples of the believers. We need to be a witness. We need to be a testimony. We need to let people see who we are. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, you need to be an example. Every one of us are examples. We have that obligation. Secondly, by nature, this example is around the clock. I mean, you don't see any indication here, no qualification by the Apostle Paul here. You be an example on Sundays only. You don't find that, do you? You be an example to the believers. And this matter in word and charity and spirit and faith and purity and conversation all the time. That's the idea behind it. By nature, just the concept here and use of the word conversation, the conduct of life. We want to be an example all the time, around the clock, if I may say it that way. Number three, by implication, this example is to be a positive one. Now, I trust that you recognize that we're all examples in everything that we do. And we're either going to be a positive example or a negative example. And I believe the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, talking about his mode of life, he says you need to be a positive example. That's the implication there within the text. So when I'm encouraging you today to be an everyday Christian, we want you to be positive about that and live a life that would be honoring to God. Number four, then, by definition, by the definition of the word itself, this involves our lifestyle. I'm glad that you're here. This is a Sunday. And we're glad that you're able to make it today. But I trust that you understand that your Christianity is not focused or localized to today. And I think we have that understanding. This word conversation involves our mode of conduct. That's who we are. That's how we live. And so this involves our lifestyle. I'm to be a Christian today, I'm to be a Christian tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and next Sunday, and on, and on, and on. Every day, as a Christian, I need to be a Christian and live as God would have me to live. Why? Because this involves my lifestyle. Number five, then, by application, we should strive for consistency. Now, I recognize we're all in the flesh, we're all weak, we all have... You know, there are things that we'd like to do, we do not do, and there are things that we don't do and that we should be doing. And we realize that we struggle in the Christian walk just like Paul and everyone else that we read in the Scripture. But when Paul writes to Timothy and says that you need to be an example in conversation and in everyday walk of life, well, you're not going to be perfect, but we want to strive for consistency. And so I don't want it said of me, well, yeah, he's a good preacher and he's a good individual on Sundays and maybe on Wednesdays, but you know what? He'll hit him up on Monday or Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays and you just really don't know. And especially Saturday, he could live like the devil. And I've known way too many individuals that live that kind of, quote, Christian life. They'll live corruptly all week long and go to church on Sunday to try to make those things right. And then they'll live for God on Sunday, and then they're back on Monday, and they live just like they don't know anything about God at all. And that's not what we ought to be. Do you know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Do you believe that you're saved? Then you have a Christianity that should be an everyday Christianity. Now, let's look at a few other references. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and in verse 13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. How should a Christian live? He ought to show out his good conversation by his works. Yet his lifestyle, that's the same word, 1 Peter chapter 1, a few pages over, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. What should we be as children of God? Holy in all of our conversation, our deportment, our manner of life. But 1 Peter chapter 2, look down in verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is it? Your conversation is to be honest among the Gentiles. Same word. 1 Peter chapter 3, look over there in verse 16. He says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And so your lifestyle, they're going to talk bad about you, but you just keep right on being what you ought to be. This word is also found in a number of other places where the word conversation is used. It is in application to, of course, the deportment of life, because that is the same word that we find throughout the passage. That list of verses should be in the bulletin and the outline given to you. But I would remind you of a couple of these verses. One over in Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 22, it talked about while they abode in Galilee. The word abode is the word that we have here for conversation in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, where he talks about how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. That word, behave thyself, that's the word for conversation. That's how we ought to be. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, it says that we are from them who live in error. We stay away from them who live in error. That word live, that's their life. That's how they conduct themselves. And so amidst all these verses in reference which is offered unto you, and you can look at those other peripheral verses when you get home later today, but I would like to offer you some observations. And we're concerning ourselves with, hey, we ought to have an everyday Christianity based on the term itself. So observation number one is that do any of these verses imply a sporadic, hit or miss, inconsistent mode of activity? Any of these, do you find any reference that we've looked at that would say it's good for this day, but it doesn't apply to the rest? There's no indication of it whatsoever. Secondly, we would observe that we should live so that we might be seen. Paul told Timothy to be an example, and we ought to live that we might be seen. We ought to be examples, because the fact of the matter is, observation number three, is that we will be seen. Whether you like it or not, people see you. And they see how you conduct your life. They know how you treat your family. They know how you treat your coworkers, and they know how you live. People see you. They see me. And so I want to recognize that I want to be a Christian all the time because people are watching me. And so we also would submit unto you, and a fourth observation is such a lifestyle should mirror God's character. In 1 Peter we read, "Be holy for I am holy," he says. So this positive aspect of being an everyday Christian ought to reflect God. I need to reflect Jesus Christ on a daily basis, and I want to mirror who God is. That should be our striving. Timothy, be an example in conversation. I say unto you, dear believer, be an example in conversation. And as we begin 2017, the first day of the year, all year long, be committed before the Lord to live every day for Jesus Christ, to have Him in your heart and to respond to Him and to live a life that reflects Him. Have an everyday Christianity. And then I would submit there's a fifth observation, and that is consistent, continual Christianity glorifies God. I believe that. When we live for Jesus Christ, when we're consistent, that's glorifying to God. Now, we read in Peter where he says, hey, there are some people that are going to falsely accuse your good conversation. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to accuse you. They're going to find fault with you and speak evil of you. The fact is, you still have a good conversation. We want to live right, and we want to glorify God through our lives. And even the lost people will recognize that, and in the end, God will be glorified through it. And then the sixth observation I offer to you in regard to this terminology is that we should also possess the right attitude about our conduct. James chapter 3, verse 13 told us when we read that verse that we ought to do so with meekness. With meekness. Not with arrogance. Not with, oh, look at me, I'm the best, and I'm just the epitome of a Christian. But with meekness. We want to live every day as Christians. Why? Because that's who we are. So as Christians, we want to follow after Him. Then, if you would, the second point I want to mention unto you, we recognize that we ought to be everyday Christians based on the terminology, but also as demonstrated in the Scripture. That's my second point, and I have several verse references, and some of them I'll read to you, but some of them I'll ask you to look at. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 61. The book of Psalms, the 61st Psalm 61. Does the Bible indicate for us how that we ought to live and that life ought to be on a daily basis? Just a handful of verses here. Again, these are listed in the outline. But Psalm 61, verse 8, David writes and he says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." How often, David? Daily. Daily. I'll sing praise. I'm going to honor you daily. You see? Go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And verse 3. Again, another Psalm of David. But he says in verse 3, Psalm 86, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily."
How often do you seek the Lord? How often do you cry before His face? David says, I do so daily. Daily.
Psalm 88, page or so over. Psalm 88, verse 9. He says, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. All my problems, all my issues of life, I cried unto You. How often?
Daily. Daily. You know what I found? I found it's very easy for individuals not to seek God in prayer, not to approach Him in prayer, until something really just comes up that's big that they really want to just turn to God about. And so what you'll find is there are people who will just only approach God when trouble happens. And they don't talk to God on a daily basis, just whenever that trouble comes. Now, some of those people are in trouble every day, and they might be crying out to God every day. But normally what it is they'll just go along for a week or two until something big happens, and they'll cry out to God and say, oh, God, will You help me? And God doesn't hear their voice before then. And so the psalmist here writes, and he speaks about how I cry unto You every day. And I encourage you, my friend, let your Christianity be a daily Christianity. I would remind you also over in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 11, that model prayer there that Jesus taught, what did He say? He said, give us this day our daily bread. Same thing is repeated and recorded in Luke chapter 11 and in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread, it says over there. But if you're to ask God to give you daily bread, then how often should you be asking? Daily. So if you got up today and you said, well, I'm going to talk to the Lord about my life today, and Lord, would You provide the food that I need for today? Well, you can skip tomorrow and you can skip Tuesday if you wish, but you're not asking about daily bread then, are you? And so we want you to respond daily and pray unto the Lord every day. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. And follow Me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Listen to the text. Paul writes and he says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, I die how often? I die daily. Daily. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, he says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Daily. Back to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And in verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. How often? Every day. Should we be responsive every day? Absolutely. Let's think of a few observations here. Number one, we have a daily obligation before God. I believe that. If we name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an obligation for Him daily. Now, of course, it's just as creatures we have an obligation before Him. But people will back out from that. So I submit unto you, if you say that you're saved, if you say you know Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life, you have an obligation to Him on a daily basis. You cannot just say, well, I'm in the house of the Lord today, and you're fortunate to see me, and what a blessing it is, and I'm here, and so therefore the rest of the week is mine. You can have that approach if you wish, but I think it's a wrong approach because every one of us have an obligation to God every day. Secondly, as we've read in those verses there where the Bible expresses those things, we should interact with God on a daily basis. How often should you seek the Lord? How often should you talk to Him? How often should you think about Him? On a daily basis, we need to focus upon Him. And of course, that will be throughout the day. Third, I would observe that prayer is considered to be an everyday task. We saw it over and over, and we read those verses there. Seek the Lord daily. Pray the Lord. Pray to the Lord every day. And then I certainly must ask the question, how often should we take up our cross? Take up our cross how often? Once a week? Once a month? We should take up our cross daily. That's what Jesus taught us. How often should we have a concern for the brethren? We read in the text that we should be exhorting them daily. How often should we give glory to God? We should do so daily. And so I submit unto you from the very term itself, we have an everyday Christianity. by the scriptures that's demonstrated before us today. We have an everyday Christianity.
But let me submit unto you my third point as we think about an everyday Christianity, and that is as it is applied by overall considerations. When we think of all those things which we've discussed, let's just concern ourselves for just a few moments about these considerations. Number one, let me ask you, are we part-time Christians or full-time believers? I mean, do we clock in and clock out on a Christian basis? Are we part-time Christians or full-time believers? Well, we all know the answer to that. We're all full-time believers. And so it certainly makes sense to have an everyday Christianity. Secondly, as Christians, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You remember what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And what that means is that as a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in my heart. And he always dwells in my heart. And it's not like, well, he dwells in my heart on Sunday, and then he departs and then comes back next Sunday. The Spirit of God, as a believer, the Spirit of God dwells in my heart. He dwells in your heart. I would also mention 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, where John wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit and said, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." It says, "For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." That is, the Spirit of God dwells in my heart. So as a Christian, God dwells in here. And that makes a difference how I ought to live. Why? Because he dwells in my heart today. He's going to dwell in my heart tomorrow. He's going to dwell in my heart the next day, isn't he? He dwells in our hearts. The third overall consideration is the abiding Holy Spirit always directs us in both righteousness and fellowship with God. I believe that. We ought to be holy because God is holy. God directs us. That Holy Spirit directs us unto righteousness, but he also directs us into fellowship with God. I believe the Spirit wants us to commune with our Father in heaven. And so we need to recognize that, hey, our Christianity ought to be an everyday Christianity. Point number four in consideration is this. As citizens of the heavenly kingdom, we ought to live in a manner that reflects the kingdom. I think that makes sense. And so Paul says, let your conversation be godly. That citizenship there we read in Philippians chapter 1. If I'm a citizen of heaven, may my life reflect that all the time. And so that's the encouragement and the exhortation we have in the Scripture. And the last consideration is this. Christianity not only impacts our very being, its nature should be evident on a regular basis. Yeah, Christianity makes a difference for me every day. And it's the fact that, you know what? Christianity is who we are. And so that is going to affect me all the time. On a regular basis. And so for these reasons, I submit unto you that we ought to have an everyday Christianity, not just once a week. And, well, in closing then, there are a few thoughts I'd like to offer to you. First of all, we are Christians. I mean, if you're saved, we're Christians 24/7, 365. You understand that terminology. That's a modern expression. But what that means is every day. That means every day, every week. That means every day, every week, every month, every year. All the years of our lives. We are Christians 24/7, 365, and so we should endeavor to live that way too. So when you leave today, don't forget all about God. Don't forget about who you are. Don't forget that the Lord dwells in your heart, and go live your life like the devil. My friend, do not clock out from Christianity, which you can't do, but don't think that way. We ought to endeavor to live for Jesus Christ every day and every moment of every day. May God grant us grace to do that. Also, in closing, that means to us that we need to apply the spiritual principles on a daily basis. When's this book good for? Well, this book's good for on Sunday mornings. And that's it. It's only good on Sundays, not good anytime else. Is that true? No, this book is good every day, isn't it? And what we read in this book, what we study in this book, what God reveals to us in this book tells us how we ought to be. And these principles ought to be applied on a daily basis. So I don't come into here and live my life on Sunday and around you people with just one principle and then
check out on that principle and live the rest of the week on a different principle and then check back in on Sunday. We ought not do that. It's an everyday Christianity, isn't it? And so that means, number three, that seeking God's face, that we ought to be seeking God's face every day and throughout the day. It ought to be something we think about. Will we thank Him for the food that He has given us? I don't know whether you ask and return thanks for the food that you have or not, but I think that's a good thing, and you'll do that every day. Most of us like to eat 3 times a day minimum. And so do you thank Him for that? Well, you ought to. You ought to consider, hey, God's given me this food. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you thank Him for the food that God has given to you? Will you ask His direction for decision making? Don't you have to make decisions every day? Will you ask God? Or you just say, well, I only ask God when I'm on Sundays. No, of course not. We ask Him every day, God, what should I do? What decision should I make? When I go through town, I'll ask God, God, which direction? Because you can get about any place in Memphis on the city streets, and you can take the loop, or you can take surface streets, or different directions to go, and I'll ask God. You say, that's foolish. I don't think it's foolish one bit. God, which is the best way for me to go? Direct me as to the path that I should take. I think that's a necessary thing. But that's just driving through this madhouse here in the city. But what about every day, all the decisions you have to make? You ever stop to ask God? Oh, I would encourage you to do so. Make it an everyday Christianity. Will we apply the biblical principles to our daily lives? I mean, when we read the Bible, it tells us this and that, and how we live and how we ought not live. Does that apply every day? Certainly it does. Certainly. May God grant us grace to apply those biblical principles every day, throughout the day. And so will we live for Him throughout the entire day. When we leave here today, don't just clock out and Christianity is an afterthought until next Sunday. Don't do that. Recognize who God is. Recognize who you profess to be. And make it an everyday Christianity. And I also would submit unto you as I wind down to our finish, and that is when we fail, we should confess it before God. Because the fact is, we will fail. I won't always be perfect. I will sin against God. I will do things in my own choice and not follow after Him. I will neglect Him, and I will not seek to Him in prayer in every activity. I'm not a perfect person, and you're not a perfect person either. Well, when we recognize that, when we know we come up short, what do I need to do? What do you need to do? You need to confess it before the Lord. Lord, I confess to you, I just really ignored your scripture there. Lord, I confess to you that I've sinned against you on purpose. Lord, I confess to you that I really haven't given much thought to you in the last several hours. We can confess those things before God, and may God grant us grace to do that. And so let me remind you as we finish that when we substitute our will for His, then we need to repent and be restored to the proper spiritual focus. My problem is I want to do what I want to do. And when I do that, I'm not being what He would have me to be. And when I recognize that, I need to repent from that and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Restore me to that proper spiritual focus. David wrote after he had committed sin against Bathsheba and covered it up for a year and all that, over in the Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I tell you, as God's people, that ought to be our desire day after day after day. Because the truth is, if we're saved, we're Christians. And if we're Christians, we're everyday Christians. We're everyday Christians. Because that's the only kind of Christian that God makes. And so may God grant us grace as His people. We look into 2017 fresh before us. Let us live for Jesus Christ every single day. May God bless us. And you that are lost, you need Jesus Christ. I point you to Jesus that you might be saved. He alone is the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. But after that, well, then you have to follow after Him. You need to be obedient to Him. You need to die daily and seek His face daily. And so may God bless us that we might respond well with an everyday Christianity. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Father, we commit this time before You, and Lord, thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. And Lord, I confess, I'm
I'm the worst at all this. I realize I sin against you way too often, and Lord, put my own thoughts before you way too often. And Lord, I'm not looking at them, I'm looking at me. But I also recognize, as just as Christians, that belongs to every one of us. So help us, oh God, by your grace and mercy in the rest of our life ahead of us, that we would love you, we would serve you, we'd be found obedient every day. And may our example be every day. And may it be a testimony unto those that are lost about who you are and what you do in the lives of your people. And you do it every day. Thank you, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. If you would, turn to number 370. 370.